Patriots Monday at Gillette Stadium. It's Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We'll take a brief Patriots breather here. We'll get back to your phone call, 617-779-7937. You want to talk Pats all day long? It's a spot to do it, but we got to get to Jeremy Swayman.
Yes.
We've been covering this story now for weeks. It's a saga, if you ask him.
It really has been.
An absolute Shakespearean saga.
Yeah.
For Jeremy Swayman, who, in my opinion, the Bruins caved to and gave him 8 years, $8.25 million, $66 million over 8 years. We can give you all the details on the contract if you want, but I guess the too long didn't read version is I think the Bruins bent the knee a little bit to do what they had to do to get Jeremy Swayman out there because things were looking real bad between player and team, real ugly between player and team. The season could start tomorrow in Florida, weather permitting. We've got another hurricane in the area, so we'll see what goes on in the next 24 hours or so. But you're about to drop the puck on your season, and you're staring down Corpy, Jonas Korpisalo, to start the year. And the Bruins didn't want to do it, so they bent the knee.
No,
that's what I
think. They did. I think they saw preseason Korpisalo, and I think that helped Swayman anyway quite a bit. I also think Cam Neely might have cost the team a couple of million bucks when he went rogue. At least I assume he went rogue and was saying the, oh, we got 64 million reasons to be playing if I was Swayman. Well, he didn't sign for 64. He signed for 66, right? So I was like, oh, like hockey money is so much different. Like this whole contract for Swayman, which is a big hockey contract, I think Jaylen Brown makes next year. Like, I think that basically, like, give or take, like, he's going to take that home next year. But no, Swayman won this. You know, there were a lot of people that were saying, like, all right, give him in the sixes, maybe seven, hasn't won a Vezina, hasn't won a Stanley Cup. Like, what are you doing? And he wanted in the nines, he wanted 10, like, or that's what he was asking for. And then he ends up getting 8.25 after Neely was stamping his feet and saying eight per year. It almost felt like they weren't going to budge. And I wonder if this was Sweeney. Because Sweeney seemed more level-headed than, than Cam did.
For sure.
I wonder
we said last week, I'm sure when Neely revealed the numbers, Sweeney, you know, in some way, shape, or form was like,
yeah,
what are we doing?
No, I think Sweeney was probably saying, look, we got to get this thing done. We already traded away Ullmark. You see who we have left right now. We can't really go into a season with a good team and have Korpisalo in net for 50-plus games. Like, we can't do it. And also, even if they waited a month to sign him, all right, when's Swayman ready to go? When is Swayman, like, in midseason form? Like, all that stuff. So I think they didn't want to let the season slip away, and they budged. I think the Bruins budged off it.
Me too.
Because I had been hearing, and it was pretty much confirmed by Neely, they weren't going to go north of eight. So they go slightly north of eight, makes Swayman feel a little bit better about himself, makes it feel like this process wasn't a complete waste of time. He and his agent can look at it as a win. The team can now say, all right, we paid you a little bit more than we wanted, but now you better go out there and be a top-five goalie. Like, now the pressure is all on Swayman after all this.
Yeah, and look, I think he will be. Like, I'm very confident in Swayman going out and having a good year, even if there's some rust to start.
Yeah, there will be.
You know, like that, I don't know how he's going to start. But I think he'll be a top-five goalie. I think he is a top-five goalie in the league. I think he deserves every penny of this, and I think he won the negotiation. And, like, I got a lot of pushback yesterday on Twitter. I tweeted that out. I said, huge win for Swayman.
I agree.
Bruins butchered this for years and wound up paying for it. Good for him. And I think they did butcher it for years with him. They could have signed a bridge deal in any of the last few years, and they wouldn't have had to be paying him $8.25 million, which they clearly don't want to do.
No.
They clearly didn't want to go there. They went there. They held their nose and went there, probably because they gave up all their leverage by trading Ullmark. And, you know, certainly in Swayman's mind, screwing him over time and time again over the last couple of years. So I think he absolutely won the negotiation. I think he deserves the negotiation he got. And the crew that I don't get, the group I don't get on social media,
what's the group?
Is the group that's like, oh, the Bruins handled this right the whole way. It's like, their goalie isn't ready for opening night.
The season starts tomorrow.
Their goalie
yesterday.
Isn't going to be out there for the start of the year on any other level.
Right.
Just focus on that. You don't need to bring anything else into it. Their goalie won't be there on opening night. How on earth can you say the Bruins handled this well?
Yeah, no, I don't think that they did. Now, if Swayman's able to sort of hit the ground running quicker, like doesn't need a long preseason,
yeah, we'll
if you will.
Yeah, we'll forget about all
forget
this.
About it, and it'll probably be fine. But no, I don't think it's the number that they wanted. I think maybe for the first time ever, because Sweeney got these great deals from Marchand for years, from Bergeron from years, even Chara at the end. All these guys signed. Everybody wanted to play in Boston. Kind of made his job easy. Pastrnak, they probably paid a little bit more than they wanted to. Not that he couldn't have gotten more.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
he could have. But
they, like, they extended
that's a big
themselves.
Number
yeah.
for
yeah.
them.
Yeah, they'd never handed out a contract like that in franchise history.
And even McAvoy, I bet, was sort of the, all right, I think we have to do this. This is kind of the going rate. We can't lose him, but maybe a little bit more uncomfortable. Same thing, I think, happened with Swayman. You know, when they were going to get uncomfortable with Krug, they were like, all right, see you later. Like, we'll figure out something else. But with the goalie, I don't think they were really sure, and I don't think they loved this. Now, one thing I did see, I was trying to find the exact numbers, but the cap is going up, even though
yep.
we kind of clown on the cap in the NHL compared to the other sports. But I think the percentage of cap dedicated to Swayman is still less than the cap dedicated to Rask in his final few years, right? Because Rask was a pretty high-paid goalie.
Really?
But
so Rask at whatever,
seven. I think? Versus 8.25.
Yeah,
yes,
I mean,
the percentage is actually lower now. So maybe Sweeney and Neely can wrap their head around that. So I'm like, all right, we're still not overly investing, in their opinion, in that position. I am a little bit surprised, though, not to relitigate this, but Korpisalo, I know he's getting a million of his contract paid by Ottawa,
yep.
but they're paying for three, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're paying 11.25 for goalies. That seems a little stiff.
That's a lot.
Wouldn't you rather have $1 million backup?
Yes.
But I mean, that's... You know, we can get into that, especially when it gets to the trade deadline and things like that, and like what they can and can't do. But that's one thing that's kind of surprises me.
So, some details on the contract. You know, you don't need the cash flow details. He's getting $8.25 million per year against the cap, AAV. Year 3 to 6, he has a full no-move clause. Year 7, he has a 10-team approved trade list. Year 8, he has a 10-team no-trade list. So, if I'm reading this properly... The first 2 years, you can move him wherever you want. Now, you don't necessarily want to do that, but there's a window in there where you can make a move if you want to early on in this contract.
Huh.
So there's maybe some wiggle room there, for the Bruins, where hopefully you don't run into the same issues you ran into with Linus Ullmark, for instance. Let me hear from Jeremy Swayman, by the way. There was one answer that I liked, and you guys can jump in on the phones. It's 617-779-7937. This was Jeremy Swayman on... Cam Neely's comments from last week. Seems like a long time ago.
Yeah.
And his agent, Lewis Gross, his response, the statement. Here's Swayman on the back and forth.
After Monday, did you think this was going to get done by now? What was your reaction to the comments on Monday from Cam? Did it help this deal get done?
You know, I lost track of days. I didn't know what day it was. So it was a day-by-day thing. And again, it's a negotiation, and I respect the fact that you have to ask these questions. And again, what I'm truly focused on is the future and the here and now. And everything else was a blur in my mind. And all I'm worried about is being in net for the Boston Bruins right now. And I'm overjoyed with it. So I'm really excited about that.
Okay. So that's Jeremy Swayman.
Do you think he can let it go?
No, not really.
I don't think so. This was the guy that during the documentary thing, right? He was like, well, the sun will come out tomorrow.
Yes.
You're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, let's hope so. Not today. It's kind of rainy today.
No, well, not today.
Overall.
But I got a lot of this, too. It's like, oh, you think he's pissed at the organization?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, no, I'm pretty positive he's pissed at the
organization. He definitely is.
He's still pissed about arbitration.
I know.
He's still mad about that.
I know.
So, yes, he's pissed. Now, will he go out and still play well this year? He's been pissed in the past and played. We know he was pissed last year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
and played really well.
Doesn't affect his play.
Right.
And I also don't know on a day to day how much he's going to see Sweeney or Neely once those checks start cashing. I'm sure that'll feel a lot better.
Right,
right. Like the Jalen Brown welcome to the NBA moment.
When
like,
did
Jeremy
I know?
Swayman,
I was like,
wait a minute.
Yeah,
look at this.
Hang on.
Direct deposit looks pretty good. So maybe he will be able to put it behind him. And also, if the team is winning. Right, like we say with all the teams, we're talking about it with the Patriots. Like if they're winning, maybe things, it's easier to kind of put it behind them.
Yeah,
but it does feel like a guy that's going to hold on to it for a little bit.
Yeah, and just the relationship got damaged a little bit. They were able to come to an agreement, but that doesn't mean the relationship wasn't damaged by the negotiation. It would not be the first athlete that held that against the team. Not
but
by
you know
a
what's
mile.
Funny is the team basically turned a lot of the fan base against Swayman.
Well, that's what I find amusing. There was another answer he had where he's like, oh, I got so much support.
I don't know.
I was
man.
Like,
you lost a lot of it.
There was a random fan up in Quebec that said $64 million or go home.
Oh, go get out of here.
So I guess that fan wants you to go home, by the way. You got 66.
You got more.
I guess they want you to go home. So, like, I don't think most of the fan base agrees with me and with him. I don't think most of the fan base does.
I think it's much like the who should play quarterback. It's more 50-50 than most people think. Like,
it's
there are
true.
A lot of anti- paying Swayman this kind of money, which
felt
all
an
does
incredible
is...
amount of support throughout this entire process. And
where,
like, now, what, who gave I mean, you that?
He has
like
his,
your mom, your dad, like your family, like his, who gave you that?
His Twitter filters are very specific.
That's so, true.
Swayman equals great, but I just think the pressure is going to be way up on him. Right, that's now a guy who was kind of flying under the radar for a while. You know, Tuukka Rask faced it because Tuukka Rask was getting paid a lot of money.
Yep.
And was a great goalie who hadn't won. So he was a polarizing figure.
Yeah,
like Swayman
sure.
Now, like overnight, I think is now a polarizing figure.
Well, yeah, he goes out and gives up 5 goals in his first
People
start.
Are all
he
over is, him.
He will definitely.
$8 million for that?
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be our take at 10 the next day. I mean, I've
tune in to find out.
And yeah. So, look, the puck drops on their season potentially tomorrow, weather mm-hmm. permitting, in South Florida. Your goalie's not ready for the opener. So I really don't want to hear how well the Bruins handled this and how skilled they are at negotiating. They caved. And Swayman won the negotiation. That's how I feel about it. You guys can jump in. Meanwhile, we'll work our way through your Patriots phone calls here on a Patriots Monday. Jones and Keith live at Gillette Stadium following the Pats' 15-10 loss to the Miami Dolphins. They're 1-4 with a quarterback change, it seems, finally on the horizon. Bruce is in Narragansett. Go ahead, Bruce.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Good show.
Thank you.
Do you guys know what a quag is?
Excuse me?
Do you know what a quag is? Quag?
I don't think so, but because, I have my finger on the dump button.
Can you say that on the radio?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, a hard shell clamp.
Okay.
Okay.
A quahog.
Yeah.
A quag.
Quag. I'm holding a bushel, and every one of these things moves better than Jacoby Brissett. I don't know what to do. I don't know where we're going, what the plan is, but it's rough. I didn't think I was going to go this far, but I missed the Red Sox, guys. This is terrible.
Wow.
Well, Bruce, I missed the Red Sox.
Bruce, what a phone call. Now,
first of all, masterclass, knowing that we wouldn't get the joke sets up the joke so we would then get it.
Beautiful.
Rather than if he just started with, like, I got a bunch of quags and be like, dude, dump that. Dump that. Don't know what he's saying. No, that was well done.
Well done.
And they all move better than Jacoby Brissett. Good.
I always assumed it was a quahog is what I thought it was. But what quahog. Do I know?
I thought it was like one of these like cryptids or something.
We said this about Brissett earlier. Like, I just remember coming in after the Cincinnati game. I'm like, man, I did not think Brissett moved that well. And it turns out he doesn't.
No.
It turns out he does not that well.
Is that a fresh legs thing?
Maybe. Like,
pounded for 5 minutes.
Yeah, maybe. Right. He's just gotten his ass kicked. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that is. But like, he moves so much better than I thought in the first game. I'm like, man, I might have undersold him. Not as a quarterback, but like in the mobility department.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he doesn't move. He's like a bushel of quags.
Bushel of quags. That's what our way, though. Yeah, a bushel of quags.
I would love to.
Delicious.
So I was reading on in the last break, Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston, has some numbers on the offensive line. And this, to me, this is the – if you take everything else away and just try to evaluate the quarterback independently from everything else going on around mm-hmm. him, mm-hmm. it's difficult to do. We had this discussion all year last year with Mac Jones. But the best you can do to, like, focus it just on the quarterback play, Brissett was terrible last week, and I think that would be the impetus for the move. Maybe beyond even ownership flexing their muscles on this and giving Jerod Mayo a nudge towards Drake May. Phil Perry says the numbers speak for themselves, and the Patriots need to do something offensively to change the direction in which they've been trending. They're 31st in the league in points per game, as I pointed out to Alex Van Pelt last week, 12.4.
See, I think you set it off on a bad note.
You think that's why he lashed out at you?
That wasn't nice.
31st in points per game, 31st in yards per game, 239.4, 31st in yards per play, 4.3. He says they're tied for last in the league in touchdowns. Their passing
Who
game.
Who are they tied with?
Good question. They're 5. They're probably
it has
Miami.
To be Miami.
Probably Miami.
Right?
Oh, yeah, it's got to be Miami. All
their
right,
passing
yeah.
game has been especially unproductive, averaging just 3.7 yards per pass play. Yikes. Again, 31st in the NFL. They're 30th in EPA per pass play, according to Next Gen Stats. Here's where the numbers get interesting, though. After allowing 18 pressures on 37 dropbacks against the Dolphins, 49%, the Patriots have a 48% pressure rate, which ranks last in the league. Their offensive line has been an issue all year, but the pressure issues on Sunday were not solely related to the blockers up front.
Yep.
Of the 18 pressure dropbacks, the average time of pressure was 2.96 seconds, almost 3 seconds. Phil writes that's not an unmanageable number. For reference, the Chiefs have the second longest snap-to-pressure rate time in football this year, 2.99 seconds. So the Pats are almost as good as the Chiefs, who are number 2 in football.
They shouldn't play Mahomes.
Save Mahomes. Protect him. Don't break Pat. While there were 6 dropbacks that were generated in under 2 seconds, there were also 5 more pressures that came with 3.5 seconds or more after the snap. So 6 were less than 2, but five were greater than 3 points. They were giving him time.
Yeah, so that's my whole take is every time Jacoby Brissett gets hit, I think a lot of fans' reaction is, O-line's horrible, that would happen to Drake May, and he's done. Not true. If Drake May gets rid of the ball quick enough, the NFL wants to protect quarterbacks. So if they get hit too late, it's going to be a penalty.
Right.
So if Drake May drops back and spins it out of there before 2.9 seconds, he's not going to get hit on that play. Now, the offensive line isn't great. And they, you know, even yesterday, Nick Leverett overmatched. He gave up the vast majority of those pressures. Vidarian Lowe came back. It was actually pretty good. The guy who was kind of a punchline earlier on camp is actually a lifesaver right now at left tackle.
Well,
and on one who's playing guard.
I was just going to say, and on one who's he fits better at guard than he does at tackle, yes.
So they were in a much better situation yesterday. Also, they should have just ran the ball more, but that's a separate thing. But if you want to get the quarterback hit less, run the ball more, especially when the running game is doing so well and you have the lead and all of that stuff. But no, I think the last 2 weeks, you have to look at, say, man, just an above, just a slightly even below average quarterback, how much different does the offense look? Because those are two poor performances. I know Van Pelt didn't see it that way against the 49ers. I don't know what he thinks about this game. We're not going to talk to him for a couple of weeks. But that was...
That's an odd question.
Yeah, well, we've got to ask it. We got to ask it because it was not very not very good.
I mean, his boss, or the head coach anyway, Gerard Mayo, was asked today about a switch in season of play caller.
Yeah.
Which Mayo shot down, but I'm sure if we could get Alex Van Pelt, he'd have a stance on that question.
Sure, no doubt.
I don't think he would have been a fan of that question. An odd question for sure.
No.
To Gerard Mayo. So rookie quarterbacks, meanwhile, playing very well throughout the NFL. It sounds like a change is afoot here in New England. Who do you think's behind that call? Is it Gerard Mayo? Is it Wolf? Is it Van Pelt? Is it ownership? Have the players, does this justify the mutiny report from last week? Last week they were teetering on a mutiny.
Hunter Henry shot down the teetering thing, but you know what he did? He was very complimentary to Drake May.
He called him a great player.
Great player.
A great player is how he referred to Drake May.
I like that.
So yeah, maybe again, more tea leaves to read here on Jones and Keefe. It's Patriots Monday. We're live at Gillette Stadium. We'll get into that quarterback decision and rookie quarterback play throughout the NFL. If you haven't been paying attention, it's actually pretty good. And the Patriots should get in on the party. That's next.